Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Revive us. It's not just a conference name, but I genuinely believe that that is going to be our declaration as a church in 2021. How many of you want to cry out to God, revive us? You know, last year we spoke about how God made a declaration to us to awaken. You remember that? How many of you were here last Vision Sunday? Incidentally, how many of you, this is your first Vision Sunday in Nations Church? Wow. Well, last year that we felt the Lord speak to us to awaken. This year, across the summer, the sense that I got was God was wanting a response from us. He's spoken to us to awaken. But now he's wanting a response from us. And as I began to read scripture, I just got so excited at the sense that God actually wants us to retort back to him, to declare back to him, God, revive us. And I read the passage in Psalm 80, verse 3, which you would have seen on the screen, that the psalmist writes this cry to God, revive us, O God, let your beaming face shine upon us with the sun rays of glory. And I love this line, then nothing will be able to stop us. Nothing will be able to stop us. And for the next 10 minutes or so, I want to open up your heart to the cry of our church that we want God to revive us. That word revive literally means this, to restore to life, to restore to consciousness, or to restore to strength. Some of you might be thinking, well, I don't need reviving. I'm doing okay. I'm doing all right. But you know that cry to revive us is powerful because firstly, it actually concedes that we're actually not as alive in some areas of our Christian walk as we should be. It takes great humility to say, well, actually, I'm doing okay, but there are actually some areas in my life that I actually need God to breathe on to bring to life again. You know, it's easy for us at times to be saved, but not truly alive. Believe in Jesus, but not to have all of the areas of our lives fully revived. And I think when we say to God, we want you to revive us, it's actually us conceding that there actually have been some areas, even last year, that we've allowed to die. Maybe some areas last year we've allowed to kind of simmer down or to be shelved or to be forgotten a little. But I just genuinely believe that in 2021, you and I, as believers, generally, not just part of Nations Church, our cry is going to be, God, would you revive us? And it's also powerful, this whole phrase of declaring, God, would you revive us, is that the second thing about that is that it actually requires to take personal responsibility. If you were to cry, revive me, and if I were to cry, revive me, it's us taking responsibility that all of the things we're praying for the breakthrough in our families, for the breakthrough in our city, for the breakthrough in the schools or the workplaces that we're believing for, as we begin to believe for all of these things, we're actually saying, God, revival starts with me. Turn to someone and say, revival, if revival is to be, it starts with me. Because it always starts with us. Yes, we pray for the city, we pray for the government, we pray for the upcoming state elections, we pray for all of those things that we're believing for. But if God were to truly move, it always starts with him moving in us first. It always starts with him moving in us first. You know what a revived church looks like? Well, the psalmist writes it so clearly. A revived church looks like a church where the sun rays of his glory shine on and we become an unstoppable force. As I began to ponder that description of a revived church, I actually began to just realize that, you know, I don't really think that we're all that unstoppable at the moment. You know what I'm saying? Like, how many of you realize that sometimes it just takes a bit of a busy week to stop us? If you want to know how stoppable we are, just wait till the first rainy Sunday of the year. See how many people that stops coming to church. Hello. See, we can read all we want. We're an unstoppable force. No, we're not really yet. But when the church is revived, when we say, God, would you revive us? And if it is to be, it starts with me. God, I'm going to open up the book of my life. All of these areas, all of these facets, all of the things that I've been trying to hide from you. God, let 2021 be the year where you breathe life into them. Then we're going to be an unstoppable force. Then we're going to have a resilience for no matter what comes our way. So what is this church that Jesus is trying to build? You know, with this unstoppable force church, because I genuinely believe that Jesus wants to come back for a type of church. Do you understand that Jesus is coming back for us? That's why it's not just us playing church. We are becoming the church, the bride that he's going to return for. And he actually describes this to his disciple, Peter, when he says, you know, Peter, who do men say that I am? And Peter said, well, you know, people say you're this and people say you're that, but I say that you're Christ, Son of the living God. To which Jesus then replies this, I also say that to you that you are Peter, and on this rock of revelation that you have, that I am Christ, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades or hell shall not prevail against it. If you want an idea as to the kind of church that Jesus wants to return for, it's the kind of church where the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Now, I've read this passage so many times, but I've never seen it like this, because as I began to read it, it became apparent to me which entity is on the defense. For so long, I've always thought that we're the church and we need to be like this fortress, right? Locked down, and we, you know, pow, 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 pow. We defend ourselves against like the attacks of the enemy. And we're like, you know, we need to hunker down and we like build fortresses and we like, you know, have a really strong prayer life and we repel ourselves against when the enemy attacks. But that's not the way Jesus describes it. The way Jesus writes it, it is hell that has gates that can't prevail against us because we're advancing against it. I long for the day where so much of the church is revived that every day hell says, oh man, we lost another one. Oh man, we lost another one. Maybe the day will come where hell begins to say, man, we lost hundreds to Nations Church today. We lost hundreds to Nations Church today. We lost a whole city to Nations Church today. We lost a whole nation to Nations Church today. That's the kind of church that Jesus is wanting to return for. Not a church that plays defense, but we're on the advance. And the only way that that's going to happen is if you and I decided if it is to be, it starts with me. That God, you can have a look at every area of my life, and would you revive every area of my life? Then we're going to be this unstoppable force. Four areas of reviving I just sense this year that God wants to revive. And the first thing is this. I generally believe that God is going to revive our love for the house of God. If there's anything that COVID did, it actually set in some level of atrophy towards the house of God. It became almost too easy for us, those of us that could gather, to regather again in the house of God. But if God is going to revive us to become this unstoppable force, this advancing force where the gates of hell can't prevail against it, God is actually going to revive our love for the house of God. Mark chapter 11, last week, if you were in our Myrie campus or watched online, I would have spoke about how Jesus went to the temple and started flipping tables. He was flipping tables because he began to see that there were some people that had stopped loving the house of God and started to treat it as common. And he began to flip the tables of convenient worship, because that's why you would go and just flip, you know, change your money and buy a couple of doves and do your sacrifice and go home. But Jesus is restoring back to our church and reviving a love for the house of God. In the book of John, because all four Gospels recorded this, Jesus flipping the tables business. But in the book of John, John writes this, that Jesus made a whip from some ropes and chased them all out of the temple. He drove out the sheep and the cattle, scattered the money changers' coins over the floor and turned over their tables. And then it says this in verse 17, then his disciples remembered this prophecy from scriptures. Here is Jesus flipping tables. Now the disciples know why Jesus was flipping tables, because he was reviving their passion for God's house, because they all looked at each other and said, man, now we know, Jesus, the passion for God's house will consume me. Oh, for a church that has the love for the house of God revived. Are you out there? The second thing that I genuinely believe that God is going to revive in our church, he's going to revive our desire for spiritual growth. He's going to revive our desire for spiritual growth. See, we can be believers throughout the whole journey of our life here on earth, but still be stuck in the level of maturity that Jesus actually didn't die and rise again for us to become. Unless we say, if it is to be, it starts with me. God, you need to revive my desire for spiritual growth. I can promise you, we're going to get to Vision Sunday next year, and you're going to be no more mature in God than you were this year. But Paul writes to the Ephesians church in 4 verse 14 says, then we will no longer be immature like children. This is Paul's desire for the church. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies or things on Facebook or blog sites that we read. So clever, they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way. Say, growing in every way. More and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Who wants to be part of a church that's growing? Not in necessarily number, that's fine. Yep, one day we'll fill this up, all of that. But I want to be part of a church that's growing spiritually. that desires spiritual growth. That's why we keep banging on about on track. On track is going to grow you. It's four Tuesdays of your life. Some of you invest 4 weeks of your life binge watching Netflix. You can invest four Tuesdays of your life to desire spiritual growth, to understand how to explain who God is and who the Holy Spirit is, who Jesus is, to find your purpose, to activate your gifts. Get on track this year. See, I don't know about you, but I think sometimes as believers, we can be really happy to be well-informed intellectually, but underdeveloped spiritually. This year, let God revive your desire for spiritual growth. The third thing that God is going to revive in our church, I believe that He's going to revive our passion to see the lost found. Oh Lord, let it be. Would you revive our passion to see the lost found? I'm going to declare it, the Nations Church is going to be a soul-winning church. I'm going to declare it today that, you know, I have a heart for your unsaved mom. I have a heart for your unsaved daughter. I have a heart for your unsaved father. I have a heart for your unsaved... We need to have a heart. We need to have that revived in us, our passion to see the lost found. Luke 19, Jesus emphatically declares, "For the Son of Man came to make your Christianity really comfortable." Does it say that? "For the Son of Man came to make your worship experience really nice and comfortable." It's a little bit warm in here. Maybe you need a bit of aircon, and that seat's a little bit hard. It says, no, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." And He's inviting you again to open up your heart and saying, "Let me revive your passion for the lost. Let me revive your passion for..." When we leave from this room, my prayer for us is that we become the church to the food truck vendors. We become the church. Come on, are you out there? We become the people that shines His light. If you're gonna be light, then shine. If you're gonna be fragrant, actually smell good. If you're going to be salt, actually affect the food you're in. And it's time for us to let God revive our passion for the lost. And the fourth thing I generally believe that God is going to do in reviving us, He's going to revive our hunger for the presence of God. He's going to revive our hunger for the presence of God. What does that mean? The presence of God is wherever God is present. And God is present wherever we are intentionally focusing and attending to Him and relating to Him. And when you hunger for the presence of God, you're not going to want to come late to a worship service. You're not going to want to stay home from revival prayer because that's where God is present. You're not going to want to miss out on Connect Group. You're not going to want to miss out on just catching up with a friend and praying. You see, when you hunger for the presence of God, you are hungry. It's almost like, "God, I can't be satisfied by sitting on my couch anymore. I'm hungry. I need to eat something to satiate this desire for you to fill me." And when we hunger for the presence of God, we're not going to play around anymore with any opportunity to encounter God. We're going to be the first out of the altar. Come on, are you out there? We're going to be the first ones to say, "God, would you count me in for prayer?" And as we begin to be in this, as the year begins to unfold, I genuinely believe that God is going to restore in so many of you and revive in so many of you the hunger for the presence of God. Because there was a time where you could not wait to have some quiet time with God. And then what happened? And then we life gets busy, and then we just do stuff, and we wonder why we're feeling flat and depressed, and we forget that in His presence is fullness of joy. You want some joy? Hunger for the presence of God. You want some joy? Begin to hunger for an encounter with Jesus. This year, as we begin to cry, "Revive us," musicians, you can join me. As we begin to cry, "Revive us," my prayer for us is that for all of us, we are humble enough to concede that, "God, there are these areas and many more that I need you to revive because maybe I've allowed them to die a little." And secondly, we're actually saying that, "God, if we were to see you move in our lives that we want to sing about and pray about and declare, if it is to be, let it start with me." We have great things that we want to see God do. We're called Nations Church. Yes, we want to see the lost found. Yes, we want to see disciples made. Yes, we want to see nations reached. But none of those things are going to be our inheritance unless we allow God to revive us again. We're coming out of a pandemic year, but let's not allow what happened last year to shape how we're going to move forward this year. And if there's anything, you know, we don't have any huge, big announcements. We're going to go and we're starting Nations Timbuktu. Awesome. I just feel this year that our vision My job is to lead you spiritually to a place where God is first and foremost in us and revived in us, that we are just simmering with the heat of the purity of the gospel, because the days are going to come where darkness is right at the door of the Western church. I don't know about you, but they are conspiring legislation to make all of the things that we deem as our freedom right now, they're going to make it untenable. See, if we don't have our passion for the lost revived right now when we're free, imagine when persecution comes, when they're going to want to lock you up for sharing the gospel. You come on. We need to have that revived in us. I don't know about you, but I'm ready tonight, today. It starts today that God revives us. If we are to hear the sound of revival, if the next generation is to hear and sing the sound of revival, it begins here in this generation that it revives us. Can you stand at your feet right across this room from the front to the back? Thank you, Jesus.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.